You're listening to Clouser on Business. Thanks for coming back. I'm Clouser, your host. Glad you're with us today. Our topic today is on what it takes to start your own business. We have an exciting story to share with you today on the effort and the perseverance it takes to create and maintain your own business. My guest today is Daniel Godfrey, owner and president of Caldera International, a manufacturer of hot and cold therapy products. Daniel started his business in his garage and now enjoys an international presence with his products. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thanks, Clouser. I really appreciate you having me today.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, so your business started out of a garage. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in 1999, I got laid off by Nike. I had spent 10 years at Nike working in the international trade department and in the Nike retail division, setting up the Nike towns and the factory stores. And, you know, like every large company, you know, it happens. And so I went through a layoff and decided that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and saw a niche in the market. And so really took that opportunity using my severance pay at Nike to launch something, and not really knowing what the future looked like, but decided to start making hot cold therapy. And
how did you determine to choose that over another product?
Saw a niche in the marketplace, really. And I backing up a little bit, I had another business that I had started with some individuals, and we were making sports coolers that went on golf bags. And some of the technology that we learned was the gel packs, and we're using the gel packs as a cooling aid in the sports coolers. And so we learned how to make the gel packs for a different application, but through that 6.5 years of working for this company, which is called Sports Coolers Unlimited, we learned how to make the therapy gel packs. And so I applied that technology to the therapy wraps and launched the company through the garage, basically.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Who was working with you, and how'd you learn how to make the gel packs?
So basically, there was a company out in Estacada that was making gel packs and selling them to the medical field, and they kind of taught us how to make the gel, and they were selling the equipment. So I purchased some of the equipment from them and just started playing with the recipe out of the garage, changing the formulas a little bit to my specifications, and basically loaded up the Nissan pickup truck and took off cross country in the state of Oregon and Washington, calling on a lot of the independent retail stores, drug stores mainly, and would collect checks as I go and go back to the garage and reload and go from there.
Yeah. Now, there's something unique about the gel packs that you manufacture, though, isn't there?
Well, in the fact that they're all non-toxic food grade material, you can basically consume them, although we don't recommend that. They all they're all pliable when frozen, and you can heat them up both hot and cold.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting to me is the fact that you can microwave them, so you don't have to go get a hot towel or something to take the place of your the cold therapy.
Well, 17 years ago when I made the product, there was not a real strong retail brand on the market. It was very clinical driven. Very plain, vanilla-looking type product, and it was either a cold pack or maybe an electric blanket or something like that. And so today, obviously, the market's evolved, and there's a lot of hot and cold therapy applications on the market today, mm-hmm. but we stand behind our product.
Yeah, during that startup time, was there ever a time where you thought, this isn't working, I'm just going to give up?
Yeah, every day. Woke up for about 6 years straight thinking, what are you thinking, looking myself in the mirror and saying maybe going back to corporate America would be a better choice. But you just grind through it and hope that things work out, and have that perseverance and the ability to withstand rejection and just keep moving forward. You really have to want it to really make it be something that's a success.
So was there something during that time period, a wow moment where, hey, maybe you got an order or something that kind of pushed you into something?
Yeah, really it started out, I was lucky in the fact that I registered my company on a Wednesday. I got the URL on a Wednesday. Thursday, I drove to the state capitol building and registered my company name. And then Friday, I had a meeting with a fairly large account here in Portland, Oregon, and I walked out of that meeting that day with a $10,000 purchase order, which is just very unheard of. It just doesn't happen. Even in the 17 years I've been in business, it's never occurred since then. Even the two sales reps that were in the meeting with me that day were both shaking their head. They were both very seasoned sales reps, and they were both scratching their head saying that, you know, this just doesn't happen. So it was sort of definitely a sign and a blessing from above, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and it really launched the company, and it allowed me to have a stronger cash flow. But even then, it was a struggle to keep the business going and to grow the company. And finally, you know, bills started adding up, and I was really close to selling 49% of the company for $125,000. And all of a sudden, one day, I get two large orders from Long's Drugs and Bi-Mart. And, you know, I was a day away from signing this contract to sell half the company for $125,000. So it changed the whole dynamic of the company. It totally kickstarted the company from a cash flow standpoint and allowed me to do some things strategically that I was able to capitalize on and sort of, you know, leapfrog the company forward in a more positive way.
Now, up until this time, where was your packaging? Were you doing everything yourself out of your garage? Or?
Everything was being done out of the garage. So when I first started, all the gel packs were being made in the garage. All the cut and sew was being made locally. I would source the material locally. The labels were being done. Everything was being made in USA. And then at some point down the road, I was able to grow the company to a certain point where I was able to take advantage of my Nike contacts, and I got a hold of a factory in China in Dongguan, which allowed me to get on a plane, go over to China, and start sourcing the cut and sew in
now,
China.
Okay, now you've mentioned cut and sew twice. Now, for our listeners, your gel packs come in what? I mean,
the gel packs are different. So the gel packs are being made here in the United States, made in USA gel, but the therapy wraps themselves are made in China and a factory, and that's the cut and sew. So it's basically the therapy wrap that we source from China.
Yeah, for those listening, the gel packs are placed inside of a wrap that has Velcro devices on it that keeps the gel pack on the area needing the therapy.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's you're referring to the cut and sew. That's what that's about, which is a great idea because I've had to use your products before, and it does work. It beats the trying to tie something around a bag of peas out of the freezer.
Yeah, or hold a messy bag of ice on your knee or your shoulder.
Exactly. So at what point, you started manufacturing some of the products over in China. So tell us about that. I mean, that must have been a process in and of itself.
Well, it was a great experience, first of all, to be able to go over there and start doing business in a foreign country. And you know, it was a huge impact on the company from a cost savings perspective. It was a 50% cost savings to the bottom line immediately. And so, it was a one-stop shop. You know, before I had to source all the material, take the material, somehow get it to the factory, and then have it cut, made, and then ship back to my warehouse, or at the time, my garage. And so, you know, from a logistics and time management standpoint, it was very overwhelming. And going now fast forward to China, all I had to do is place one purchase order, and it was a one-stop shop, sort of speak. They would just send the product to me, and it was a huge advantage for me as a small business.
Mm-hmm. When you first went to China, were you working with an agency of some nature, or just on your own finding a manufacturer?
I was, again, able to utilize some of the contacts I had at Nike, and so I went directly to the factory. And at this particular time, this one factory was making, you know, all of the sports medicine brands. So you had Mueller, McDavid, True Fit, Homedics, Ace, and then Caldera, you know, were all being made in the same factory.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common back then, and a lot of the shoe manufacturers all would use a lot of the same factories as well. And then I think as time moved on and they became more specialized, they would branch off and have their own factories.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I moved away from this factory and went with a sourcing agent, and it's worked out much better for me.
I see. And so your business has grown to an extent that last year in 2015, you introduced a product in a different, similar product, but in a different industry. Can you
talk
about that?
Yeah, I mean, hot cold therapy for humans has become so competitive that we're looking for different ways to branch out and do line extensions or brand extensions, if you will. So we were approached by a large animal hospital out of Tucson, Arizona, veterinarian hospital, and they were using our human hot cold therapy products on canines, and it doesn't exactly work that well. They have obviously a unique shape to them, and so they were asking if we'd be interested in working with them to develop a line of hot cold therapy for canines, and of course I jumped all over it. And so we worked for about 2 years in development of the product, and we launched it last October at a large veterinarian trade show called the ACVS show, which was in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's been very successful and very well received since then. And, you know, we're in a sort of a educational mode with the product because it is so new and there's not much competition. But we're very excited about the future, and hopefully we can continue to grow the company using this product.
Mm-hmm. So backing up to how you got the company started, for someone that's listening that maybe wants to start their own business or has a product that they'd like to get to market, what advice would you have for someone like that?
I think you have to be determined. You have to have thick skin. You have to have a plan. And you have to want it really, really bad. In today's world especially, I think it's so competitive. The internet provides a unique advantage from a competitor standpoint, but you have to really, really want it and be able to push yourself to the extent where you have a lot of personal and maybe even financial sacrifices in order to make it happen. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, and if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So, I encourage everyone to do it, act on it, but at the same time, understand what it is they're getting themselves into and the risks that are involved.
Yeah, so what kept you getting up in the morning and coming back, even though maybe the day before you felt like quitting?
You know, for me, I was lucky. I wasn't married. I didn't have a family. I didn't have children. So my overall thinking was, I'm going to put it all out there and risk everything, and I'm still young enough that I can pick myself up and start over again. Luckily, I haven't had to do that yet, but that's sort of the mindset you need to have. And a lot of people are challenged with that, especially if they have families and they're married. There are a certain point in their career where it's going to be difficult for them to all of a sudden go from receiving that security check every month to not knowing where the next check's going to come from. And that's exactly what I went through. I mean, after 10 years at Nike and having that security blanket, it is very challenging, and it's a very uncomfortable feeling, and it takes a while to get through that. And so,
but it sounds like your time at Nike, if I can ask this, it seems like maybe you picked up certain things out of that experience with Nike that's helped you even with your own business?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anytime you work for a large company like Nike, regardless of what department or what type of job you're doing, you're going to have a certain skill set that you can apply to being an entrepreneur. And so without question, my experience at Nike has helped me. But I think that I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, even from back when I was in college. I was playing with different products and had different ideas. And so that part of me has always been something that's been within me. And I think just working for a company like Nike, who has such a strong entrepreneurial background, and the whole story about how Nike was developed, just pushed me to want to be that person even more.
Yeah. So do you see this pet therapy product as sort of a rebirth, if you will, or both to you and your company? Or?
Yeah, I don't know about a rebirth. I hope so. It's something that's definitely motivated me again. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to take things for granted, and you get burned out on certain things. And so it's been refreshing to have a new product with a new market and industry that you can tap into, and all of the same challenges are there again. It's just a little bit different, and we're in a little bit different situation being company that's been around for 17 years, so it's not so much of a startup anymore.
Yeah, but I think the example of what you've done, Daniel, is the American dream still out there, and if you have something, a talent, a product, and the wherewithal inside yourself, you can certainly achieve something in this country still.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You got to want it and got to go get it.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for we're out of time today, but really appreciate you coming by and sharing your story. And I hope that for those who are listening, that if you're thinking about starting a business, you know, go for it, you know, but just know that it's going to be a time of perseverance and but don't ever give up. I think as Daniel shared here, you know, he got up every day with a renewed spirit, and so can you. But hey, well, thanks again, Daniel, for coming by. We're out of time today. Daniel, if people wanted to find out where you're at, where would they go?
Go to calderaintl.com. And if anyone has any questions out there, feel free to reach out to me. I'd be glad to assist in any way I can.
And you can learn more about Daniel and about us on our website, clouseronbusiness.com. We appreciate your questions and comments. Please keep them coming. And now here's an important note. We have a new short survey on the website we'd like you to take, so you can help us present topics that are of an interest to you. And if you haven't already, please go to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe to our podcast. Well, we're out of time for today. All for now. You've been listening to Clouser on Business.